Welcome to the bonus level.
Welcome back to the bonus level podcast. This is level 42, and we're not at a baseball game, though it might sound that way. I'm Jack, and of course, this week, Josh and Luch joining us.
Hello.
And that was not planned, and I apologize for that. However, we are going to motor on forward because it just takes too much time to try to fix it, and it's just too rich. And it's we're going to look back on this when we're older and think, ha, that was a funny time. Right?
Bunch of goofballs.
Anyways, this week on the Bonus Level Podcast, we are going to be discussing right, left, center, and also a very controversial topic, a heated debate among many circles. Many people, I want to say many, several people that listen to our show have told me in the past few months that they'd love to hear our take on more important controversial topics, things that are very heated one way or the other, to kind of see where we fall in our own thought process. Mm-hmm. And while I'd like to stay away from political things, we all have some sort of political preference, right? And by that, I mean not necessarily like, you know, do you vote Democratic, Republican, but on certain issues, you tend to fall, you know, on one side of the stick or, you know, kind of neutral, right?
Yeah.
This week, spoiler alert, if you read the title, we're going to be talking about gun control, gun laws, and the right as Americans to own them firearms. But first, before we do that, I thought it's important to kind of get a measuring stick for where we are in the grand scheme of things, right? From super far alt-right conservative to the way other side to your liberal lefty. And then, you know, how close to one or the other we are, right? Yeah. So we're going to start with Luch. And Luch, you don't speak up on political things a lot of times. However, I know you have opinions on these things. So why don't you tell me where you tend to fall in the majority of these debates?
When it comes to gun control, I am 100% on the...
Okay, first of all, you did not listen to my question. So negative 10 points for Gryffindor. We're going to come back to you. Josh, answer the question.
Do you want like the 1 second answer or like the 30 minute answer?
Well, we have time for 30 seconds.
30 seconds. I would say for the most part, I am very in the middle on things.
Leave it to you to be wishy washy.
I wouldn't say that it's a wishy washy thing. As much as I see good points given by both sides on different arguments, where like I find that it's weird that if you say I'm on the right, that you have to be on the right on 100 different topics.
No, you don't.
And then, but okay, so let's say that you're 75% of stuff on the right, then that would consider you more right than left or whatever. I feel like that. The right has 50% good ideas. The left has 50% good ideas. And it's not always like, you know, that it's just there's a topic that I'm like, oh, well, I'm half and half on this topic. No, it's like, I like this thing that this side has, and I like this thing that this side has. And, you know, so that's where I tend to be in the middle. But at the same time, man, everyone knows me. Like, you got a good friggin' argument, it's going to...
Yeah, see, that's what I was going to go back to and say that, unfortunately, with you, I could probably argue with you for both sides of the point, and you wouldn't know which side to believe because you'd be like, wait, no, I agree with you there. And I also agree with you there.
Yeah, I mean that there nothing is black and white. There's so much gray stuff.
No, false. That is not true. All right. Thank you for your input. Now everybody knows that you just deadline right in the middle. If anybody wants you on their team, all they have to do is send a persuasive pitch your direction, and you're all in.
I wouldn't say all in. I will dip my toes in.
He's 50-50 in.
He's halfway in.
I'll hop up on the fence for you.
All right. Now we're coming back to Luch, who hopefully understands the question a little more.
I do not.
Okay. All right.
I definitely lean toward the right of things.
Okay. In general, just across the board, you're just more right. So are you talking about like what he said, like 75%, or are you further like 80-90%, where you're just, you know, pretty much always on the right?
I would say, 75-25.
Okay.
When it comes to more social aspects, depends in the way they go about things. But in terms of views, definitely probably toward the right of things.
Yeah. Okay. And then for my 30-second sales pitch, I am probably, I would say, a little bit further right in general.
Than the average American, than Luke,
than you two.
Mm-hmm.
Well, definitely more than you, because you fall right in the middle. But your 75-25 is probably a little, I don't know. It's hard because it does depend on, obviously, the topic. And in general, my take on things is normally if it doesn't affect me, then I don't care per se. Yeah. I may not agree with it, but I just if it doesn't affect me in my life, it's not for me to tell you what to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the problem then comes in, and what we'll get into in a little bit, and then with some of the other topics that are going to fall under the left, right, center, whenever you start telling me what I have to say, do, or believe, right? Mm-hmm. Based on those principles, that's whenever it starts affecting me, and I start being like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
So that's more where I am. So I would say probably like 80-20 or like 85-15.
Gotcha.
Mainly because like if you do come down and ask my opinion on something, I can give you where I stand and why. But in general, that 15-20% is based on like it's not going to come up because I'm going to let you do your thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't hurt me, if that makes sense.
Makes sense. Yeah, I can give you that.
Okay. All right. So now that everybody has kind of a better understanding of where you fall, let's talk about why, right? Let's talk about why you fall there, mm-hmm. and what's kind of shaped that mindset or belief system. Because, mm-hmm. Josh, you were raised very similarly to me.
Yes.
But we take a very different stance on many different things, right? So we have the same, while we think alike on a lot of things as well, I think when it comes to topics, we tend to not see eye to eye on a lot of things. Would you agree?
I don't know. The only one that really comes to mind was based on an old episode when we discussed drugs,
right?
The legalization of drugs and stuff like that we had a different opinion on that area. But I mean, because nothing that, like, I'm not big into anything that is a very hot topic or very polarizing, I guess you could say.
Sure.
That with most of that kind of stuff, it's, I don't know. I mean, I guess it would just kind of depend on the topic, but I don't really remember us having too many things that we strongly disagreed. I would say it was the drug laws, and then, probably death penalty stuff. I would say that we're probably a little bit different on.
Yeah.
That's just because I know you and I know like where your argument would go with it. Probably the same with things like abortion.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that one is probably one of the hardest and trickiest ones, because like on one hand, like I'm completely for killing babies, but then on the other hand, like I don't like giving women the right to choose. So
was it the Chappelle show? Is that the most recent reference of, I think it was, right? In his new special. He did the whole, you know, like, you know, he's like against abortion.
No. So, cause I was regurgitating that joke from someone else. No, his, and especially talks about the fact that he's like, women should have full right to choose.
Right. But then the men should also,
men have the right to choose whether or not they want to abandon the baby.
Yeah. That's right. That's what I thought it was in.
Yeah.
That's a funny take on a serious topic, of course, but it's very interesting and delicate once you start to go down those lines of the rights that you want versus the rights that you will also deny.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a conversation, obviously, for another topic of left, right, center. But I do agree. I think every single one that you mentioned, we probably would come in from a different point of view.
Yeah.
And there's a couple other ones too. I think a lot of issues of morality, and not in a way of like, I'm saying like you're a bad person, obviously mm-hmm. not. But I think a lot of different things in that regard, we would see things differently.
Maybe. Well, yeah. I mean, and I mean, in so many of these different ones, they're such, you know, complex topics, you know, like it, taking the death penalty, for example, mm-hmm. like the reason that I am not a big fan of the death penalty is not because I'm having sympathy for a giant piece of shit person. I'm more scared of the fact that a jury and a judge can choose whether or not that person dies. You know, like there's certain situations, like someone goes and shoots up a school or whatever, and the cops are there on that premise, like them taking that person out, I feel like it's a very justified situation. Mm-hmm. But when you have a crime has happened, the police do their investigative work, they track somebody down, they arrest them, evidence is a little bit shaky, they take them to court, they throw all this stuff in front of, you know, a jury of their quote unquote peers. And then the judge is like, yep, I believe, you know, we find this person guilty and we sentence you to death. And it's like, you know, there's so many different things of evidence not being correct, or even people just being shitheads, like, or yeah. not doing their job right or whatever, that a person could choose whether or not that person lives or dies is where my problem is. So like, I would agree with you on the moral fact of like, I think that there are shitty people on this planet that I would like them to be gone off this planet.
Mm-hmm.
But do I like my government being able to have a say of who those people are? You know, that's the part that freaks me out a little bit.
Sure.
Just because we've all gone to the DMV or to the post office or whatever, some government agency, and been like, what kind of monkeys are running this place? And going like, those same monkeys are the ones in the courthouse. And I mean, there's been hundreds of jokes about the fact of like, who are jury people? Like the people on jury duty, like they're the ones that can't figure out how to get the hell out of jury duty. So they're the dumbest of the dumb. And now they got to sit here and choose whether or not this person lives or dies. And each state is a little bit different on how it goes. So it's like, you could commit the same crime in a different state and live and then be in this one and you're dead. Like,
yeah,
there's things like that that freak me out a lot about that kind of thing, where, like I said, the morality side of thing, I think you and I are probably dead on with it. I may be a little bit more sympathetic than you towards some of those things.
I think so.
But for the most part, I think we're on the same page with it. I just don't like a person who is fallible. Like if there was someone that, you know, someone that we really like, if it was The Rock and The Rock got to choose, I'd be like, I trust him. I think he's going to make a good decision.
Okay. All right.
But I'm saying like, we don't even know who these judges are half the time or anything. Like I can't name one freaking judge. Like,
yeah, they're mostly jabronis.
Yeah. Who knows? So it's like that kind of thing freaks me out.
Okay. All right.
Rant
over. Now that your villain monologue is over, let's move to Luch. Talk to me about why you are a little on the right hand side.
I mean, I actually didn't grow up with a family who was on the right side. They were on the wrong side. No, but they were pretty democratic family for generations. I had a really, I guess, a big influence and a teacher, my history teacher throughout my middle and high school days, who one of my favorite teachers ever, and he really he didn't like, you know, force his opinion, but he gave his opinion. It was a private school, so you know,
yeah,
they can give their opinions as much as they want. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, dang, okay. And then my family hated that. They went after that teacher so much, especially my grandma.
That's interesting. Your grandma was more democratic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah, my great grandmother was even more democratic.
Okay. So this teacher.
Yeah, and he just, you know, he was a Republican, and again, he didn't force his opinions on us, but he kind of washed off on me, and not in a
washed off kind on of. You. Oh my god. Okay, Josh, did you want to interject something there real quick?
Well, I was just curious because you had said that it almost kind of created some risk with the family. Was there anything? I mean, because yeah, I can see the fact of having a teacher and a mentor that you kind of pick up on some of the things, especially when they have a chance. Like when you're in their class, like you're able to really talk about a subject and explain it and grasp onto it and stuff like that. Were there any particular subjects that did cause the conflict with within your family, or was it just like in general when you're like, hey, I'm a Republican now, father, respect me, or like
how did it go out of the closet?
The men in my family didn't care. It was the women of my family that did, and it was I was like, so mom, grandma, never realized how much, you know, FDR sucked. And then they just went ballistic, like, don't you dare talk about FDR.
Okay, so it was on, like, different presidents and stuff. Okay, that makes – I was just wondering if you were just like, yeah. Mom, I am totally against the women's right to choose. Or they're like, why the hell?
And then I would go into, like, my Fox Business News rants, like, oh, Social Security is ruining this country.
Yeah. And then I got you. Right.
Okay.
Anyway, so then.
So that moved on from the teacher to you starting to form your own opinions and looking at things, and now that landed you on the right side of the equation.
Yeah, and now they're Republicans too, which is funny.
And now they are too.
Yep.
Oh well. What are you gonna do? All right, and then Josh, you did your whole like monologue, but I feel like we didn't really talk about why you ended up, you know, more central than anything else.
Like I said, there's a lot of different views from both sides of things that I understand their points on things. It'd be really hard unless we went down like every single issue, you know, like some of the main issues that each one kind of go back and forth, and I go, okay, yeah, on that one I like the left side's ideas, on this one I like the right, you know, so there's a lot of that stuff. In general, I like I guess what makes me the most torn is, like I said, I really want to be able to show a lot of, I want there to be a lot of freedoms for whatever we're looking to choose or do and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Where I don't like a lot of government breathing down my neck on things, but at the same time, I meet people and they're idiots and I'm like, well, should we be allowed to choose? Like that always is, a hard one for me to kind of get through. But then also, so let's talk about, something like we were talking about with the Social Security or the Medicaid, Medicare, free healthcare, you know, any of those type of things where I understand the left's point of views when it comes to trying to help out everybody. Like I understand where they're trying to come from on things. I can see where the idea is kind of like where the idea was birthed, that we want everyone to be able to have access to this stuff. We want, if you can't afford it, we want to be able to give it to you. I like the idea of being able to help people out that way. But then I also see where a lot of that kind of stuff gets exploited by people. And so I see where, you know, the right having a lot more of those doors shut and, you know, those kind of things. I see where they're coming from on that area as well. And so I feel like some of these kind of topics need to be merged in a certain type of way, like ideas from the right and ideas from the left, because I feel like because it is such a right and left topic, it is such a polarizing topic that neither of them wants to budge towards the middle to compromise on things. And so we just end up with this thrown together piece of crap system in so many different areas because one side or the other doesn't want to budge on it. Does that make sense?
Right. It does. It kind of, see that, and this isn't me throwing shade at you, mm-hmm. but I feel like that if you end up in the middle, it's almost like being on the fence and not choosing a side is almost worse than choosing the wrong side, because at least if you choose the wrong side, you're fighting for a side and you're not keeping your feet in both camp.
And it's weird because it's not that I'm on the fence going like, I don't know which side to choose. It's I'm standing on the fence looking at both sides going, you're both wrong. You need to do this, which is in the middle. Like, I feel like there's so many ideas that if merged properly from both sides that you could have a great plan in place.
Okay. Correct. But I don't think it would, I don't think that in anything, in any topic, it, even if there is compromise, nothing's ever going to land in the middle because one side of the coin is always more right than the other. Mm. Always. And if you go in the middle, then it's like,
in that kind of situation, I would say that I would probably fall more to the left side then.
Yeah.
Because like in the situation with healthcare and stuff like that, I would rather, if they couldn't compromise in the middle, I would rather err on the side that I feel like was aimed towards compassion and helping giving everyone out and helping all rather.
So you'd rather pay more out of your own pocket if it meant helping a lot of people.
Yes. A lot more people. Even if that meant that there was a majority, because I don't think that a majority of people would screw it up. I think it's generally you have your few bad apples that ruins things for everybody. And so when you have those few bad apples that exploit the system and stuff like that, yes, that does suck. But I don't think that those few bad apples exploiting the system should cause other people that actually are struggling and going through hard times to not be afforded certain things, like mm-hmm. healthcare being one of them. So like that's, if I had, like, I understand what you're saying, like not having to choose or whatever, or having to choose. That's more of where I would fall on.
Okay.
On probably a lot of issues.
Okay. Makes sense. All right. So I feel like we got a little bit more, a better understanding across the board of where everybody is, where they're coming at. And I think we can tackle a couple issues now and then in the future when we come back and touch on this from a better understanding, from a listener point of view of you know, the direction that we're coming in from, right? Mm-hmm. So I do want to transition and let's talk about guns, gun control, and the issues surrounding it, the pros, the cons, kind of the arguments. Now, right off the bat, Luch, where do you fall in the gun control debate?
Right, just by far.
Far right side. Oh, so
yeah.
So let me ask you this. So do you own a firearm?
I don't.
You don't. Okay. Don't. Would you purchase a firearm?
I would.
You would. Would you purchase a handgun, a rifle, or some sort of like semi-automatic rifle?
To be honest, probably all the above.
Okay.
I plan.
So
to.
you'd be fine with owning any sort of firearm, no matter what. All of the whole gamut, right? The whole range. Okay. Do you think there are strict enough laws in place currently to allow you to purchase those firearms that you wish?
Can you elaborate on that?
For instance, you can walk down to any gun store and with a quick background and credit check, you can purchase a handgun and walk out with it, or a hunting rifle. But if you need like a semi-automatic weapon or something like that, you know, there's waiting period, cool off period, et cetera, et cetera. But you can get one. It's not a problem. You know, U.S. citizen, clean background, you know,
mm-hmm.
no criminal history. You can purchase a firearm. Is that strict enough?
I mean, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Josh, all right. Where do you fall on the spectrum gun control debate?
I fall on the right side.
Okay. So you fall on the right side. Do you own a firearm?
I do.
You do. Do you own multiple firearms?
I do.
Okay. Are any of those firearms, I won't ask you to name specifics because whatever, but do you own a semi-automatic rifle?
No, I do. What? No.
Like it would be considered an AR.
No, I have like a John Wayne style, like Winchester rifle.
Okay.
And then a shotgun. But...
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the laws are strict enough?
No.
Okay. All right. So we're going to come back to that. So we found a differing opinion. So just to run down for my sake, I own several. I have a concealed carry permit. As long as I'm not working and going inside establishments, I try to carry it as much as I can. I also have a hunting rifle and a shotgun. Mm-hmm. I do not own an semi-automatic. However, I would and will at my earliest convenience.
Mm-hmm.
There are several reasons for that, and some we'll get into. I do not think that some of the laws are strict enough. However, I do believe that the Second Amendment and why it was put into place need to be protected at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, that's something that we're going to get into and cover, you know, in a little bit later, but I wanted to kind of set the standard, set the bar from where we're going in. All right. So Josh, you know, you said that you don't think the laws are strict enough. Do you know what the requirements are currently?
To an extent.
Okay.
The guns that I got were passed down to me from family, so I literally had to do nothing to get mine. I do know some of the stuff with like handguns. You know, you have to go in, fill out paperwork, background checks had to be done. Certain ones you're able to, I believe certain handguns you're able to walk out the same day. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. When I bought mine, I bought it in the same, I went into the shop and bought it, and I shot it at the range at the shop within an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you don't know the extent of like what it takes to get certain ones, right?
No, I mean, I'm not. Okay.
So
on gun law.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine. The reason why I brought it up though, is because, obviously knowing, you know, what it takes to own one, you kind of like set the standard of like, this is what it takes. You know, should that be stricter? Should it be a longer wait? Et cetera, et cetera. You know, then there's regulations and different states have different laws. And, you know, for instance, you know, some states are open carry, some are concealed carry. Some, if you have a concealed carry license, you have to get one in that state as well. It doesn't transfer over. Some states work hand in hand, some don't. So like, for instance, you know, I have my concealed carry in Pennsylvania and it's about to expire here. Well, it's about to expire, so I'm gonna have to get one here, but Florida and Pennsylvania work together. So my concealed carry permit in Pennsylvania is actually good in Florida. However, when I transported my firearms from Pennsylvania to Florida, I had to keep them separate in the vehicles because going through those states, they didn't carry over. So if I would have been pulled over in a state like, I think Virginia, I think doesn't, Maryland, Virginia, I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure on Virginia, but if I would have got pulled over and I had it, it wouldn't have counted. It would have been a felony.
Yeah.
For concealed carry in a state without a concealed carry permit. So, you know, even though I have one, there's, you know, there's obviously regulations and everything like that. And just some stats for you, 22% of Americans, August of 2019, this stat is from, 22% of Americans own one or more firearms. Mm-hmm. So 22% currently. However, there are 120 and a half guns per 100 people.
Yeah.
Or 393 million guns.
More guns than there are people.
Yes. So that means that the 22% of people that own guns own enough that it is more than one gun per person.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting stat, right? I mean,
oh yeah,
that means there's a lot of people that have a lot of guns, right? And these are just the ones that are registered. These are ones that are registered and bought legally, right?
Yeah. So I mean, just going through the numbers with us, we're two out of the three of us own them, and we have five guns, I think, in total. To the
you have three how many? People. You have two.
I have two.
Yeah, and I have three. So yeah, so five. Yeah.
So we have five guns for the three people and two out of three. There you go. Three.
So that's a perfect representation of this of the statistic. The crazy part is for as many guns as there are, right? Mm-hmm. The statistics of the gun related deaths to the legal registered law-abiding citizens, that statistic is very low. The percentage is very low.
Mm-hmm.
Which means what?
Repeat that.
So for instance, gun deaths, right? There are... Yes. On average, almost 32,000 gun-related deaths. Well, that's on average from that goes all the way back from 99 to 2016. That's the average per year.
Yeah.
Now that it does include suicide, that includes a lot of different things. That includes law enforcement. That includes whatever, accidents, whatever. Like all kinds of things. Right. So that's a lot of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of people. The number one cause of all of those deaths is legal intervention.
So police stepping in, shooting somebody.
Correct.
Is that what you're saying? Okay. You're just using fancy words.
Yes. And did you know that gun deaths is the number 12 cause of death overall?
Oh, I'm sure.
It's only 1.3% of all deaths.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, so, and the going back to the question that I asked before, though, is the percentage of deaths from firearms relating to, or I guess I should say homicide, right? Not suicide or accident or things like that, but homicide. The percentage of those being from legal, law-abiding citizens with registered firearms is extremely low, which means what? Which means that the people that are killing other people with guns are not acquiring these guns legally. Or if they are, they're stealing them from people that have already acquired them legally.
Yes.
So that tells me that, and this goes back to the question that I asked you about the strict, whether it's strict or not. That tells me that the strict, way of getting a gun or not getting it doesn't necessarily equal less gun deaths.
No. And I'll kind of clarify now that we've kind of gone through the intro on it, my thoughts on things.
Okay.
Just because, like, in general, this is one of the main reasons I'm on the center on a lot of things is because the right and left put their feet in their mouths on the whole thing of, you know, why, like, if even if you ban guns, bad guys are going to get them anyways. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And then the left's like, well, yeah, but we need to ban guns to protect people. And then the left's like, but yeah, don't ban drugs, because even if you ban drugs, people are going to get it anyways. And the right's like, yeah, but we need to ban them to keep people from getting hurt with drugs. It's like, all right, do you guys listen? You guys are using the same exact argument against each other. Just one is pro gun and the other is like pro drugs. Like, but it's the same exact argument. So with me, like, what I would more like to see, because and a lot of it has to do with what is our end goal here.
Right.
Like, is your goal to reduce homicide rates? Is your goal to eliminate mass shootings? Is your goal to reduce the accident rate? Which I think the accident rate is probably comes in number two behind the police, I would almost assume,
just because. Yeah, let's see.
I don't know if it has a kind of broken down, but more what I would like to see is kind of the same steps that we go through to get a license with our car. That I would not mind seeing more people educated, because I think a lot of times we forget that not everyone is raised the same way that we were. Like me, I mean, I was born in Florida, raised in Georgia. We're in the South. Like, I had a gun in my hand from birth, basically. My dad was hunting when I was a little kid. I went out hunting with him. You know, I got a Red Ryder BB gun, like, just same age as that kid in A Christmas Story.
You're gonna shoot your eye out.
Yeah. And, you know, but my dad spent a lot of time with me. He taught me how to use it. I am very familiar with guns. Like, you can hand me a gun and I feel very comfortable with it in my hands. Like, I know how to use it, how to do things properly. I know the gun safety. I know, like, if I'm at a range or whatever and I take my shots and someone needs to walk down range, I know, like, don't go shooting. Don't shoot when someone's walking down range. Like, it's those simple things that to me seem like everybody should know that I feel like a lot of people don't know. Or even so, and this is the craziest thing was you brought up the topic of, you know, talking about guns and everything. I think, when was it, today or yesterday?
Wait, what topic?
Talking about guns.
Oh, yesterday, I think, maybe. Or today.
Okay. On Sunday, my 9-year-old, Kaysen, asked if we could go out in the backyard and shoot the BB gun. And this is the first time that I've really worked with them on it. So I took both my kids, 7 and 9, out in the backyard, and I hung up, you know, those Amazon packing bubbles kind of things. So that they're awesome targets. I like hung them in the tree. I taped them to the tree and stuff in our backyard. Mm-hmm. Our backyard just goes on for ages and stuff. And we did the BB gun. And so I was like walking them through everything. All right, here's the gun. Here's how you cock it. Here's where the safety's at. It's the little Red Ryder BB gun. The same one that I got when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I'm still using the same one with them, which is pretty cool. You know, and so, but it never failed that they would shoot and then immediately turn to look at me going, I hit it or I didn't hit it. And the gun was pointed directly at my face. Mm-hmm. And my dad was standing next to my kids and going, don't point the gun at your dad. And then they go, oh yeah, sorry. They'd shoot the target again, point the gun directly at me. He's like, don't point the gun at you. And we went through it 20, 30 times. And I mean, and my kids are smart. Like, I know the story makes them not sound that way, but it's just, it takes, you have to almost kind of go through this stuff a couple of times to kind of get it ingrained in you. And then we had a really big learning lesson where my 7-year-old took a shot and my 9-year-old said something mean to him because he missed the target. And the 7-year-old turned around and pointed the gun at him. And it fucking chaos because it was, all right, we had the discussion before any of this happened. Like, you never do that. It does not, there are zero reasons why you think it's okay to do that. You know, so we had to stop shooting and sit down and we talked for 20 minutes straight on why were you doing that? Why did you think that was okay? And he's like, well, he said something mean to me. And I go, so he says something mean to you. You think it's okay to shoot him with a gun. Do you understand the severity of this? And so like, but you know, to me, I was so angry because it blew my mind how his brain could not process mm-hmm. how incredibly stupid what he had done was. I mean, it was incredibly stupid to turn around. I mean, like, the gun, of course, hadn't been cocked because he had just fired the BB and everything, and you have to cock it after each one. So, like, nothing was actually going to happen.
Yeah, but it's a mindset.
But at the same time, the fact that he wasn't like, oh, it was an accident, I turned to look at him that way. No, it was, he said something mean to me, it made me angry, so I pointed the gun at him.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, we have to have a real heart-to-heart as to not only why that's not good, but what happens when someone gets shot? Like, you know, I mean, at that close range, if you're pointing at someone's face, I mean, you probably poke out their eye or something if you hit them there. I don't know if you would kill somebody, but still, like, there's so, oh no, it was absolute insanity. Yeah. And it's like, I had kind of almost taken for granted the fact that, you know, the kind of stuff that I knew already or the stuff that I know now being an adult and things like that, that it was such a crazy learning lesson for me that, like I said, you know, we think sometimes that other people have maybe had those conversations or, you know, that they understand things or know what to do, that I would not mind that in order to purchase a firearm or I think one of the biggest things would, you know, or ammo or anything like that would be just taking some kind of certification course, like here's gun safety, here's this, here's that, you know, those type of things to be able to, I mean, if we do that with cars, like, I don't feel like it would be that bad to do with a gun. I also like, cause I agree on the fact with the Second Amendment. I don't want anyone to be discriminated against on this. I don't want it to be like, you can't have them or we're going to take them away or we're going to make the law too stringent where that way not a lot of people can have it. It's like, no, just show that you can be a responsible person, you know, and I'm a lot more okay with things, but I do think that just being able to walk in, grab something, walk out of the store is, we're assuming a lot about a person on that, that I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit more with the training or the education on it or any. I mean, I feel the same way about driving, that it's like, hell, once you hit a certain age, I think you should be taking the driving test again.
Right.
I think there's a lot of people that should have to take the driving test like every 5 years. I see people that I'm like, how the hell are you on the road right now? Like, how do you have a license? Like, it blows my mind. There are not enough cops on the road that you happen to drive by, because every cop should pull you over every second that they see you, you know, or whatever. After a certain age, like working in insurance for 10 years, I had so many like 95-year-old customers that would come in. I've never been in an accident a day in my life, you know, but this is my first one. It's like, yeah, because you're 95 years old. You couldn't see me when you walked in the front door. You thought I was a mannequin. How on earth are you driving right now? Like, it blows my mind. You know, I watch them pull out of our parking lot and they're hitting curbs. They're knocking over bushes. It's like, you realize I'm your insurance agent and I'm watching you run into shit in my parking lot. You know, that's more of where I feel as far as the regulation not being strict enough on it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. All right, let's turn it over to Luch and just put you on timeout for a little bit, because sometimes you just,
I mean, I have plenty more to say. If you want, just call on me.
You get, sometimes you get the wheels going and just downhill you go.
Choo choo.
All right, let's bring it around here. So, with the statistics that I brought up, Luch, you're all the way on the right. I think you're closer to where I fall, kind of just in general. Do you think that making stricter laws or making it a little harder to acquire, you know, semi-automatic rifles, ARs, or like the super, super left wants to do, take away those options completely and or remove them from people's property? Do you think that's going to stem the gun violence and or bring down the number of gun-related deaths?
Oh, absolutely not. I feel like it would increase it.
Okay, so that's a very, very common answer. Statistically, from a mathematical standpoint, the left technically should be right here in this part of the debate, where if you take guns off the, you know, away from consumers, right? If people can't purchase firearms, the number of gun-related incidents should go down. That's just statistics, right? So why is that not?
Sure, based on like, not the case? If there's two guns and you minus two guns, you're left with zero guns. Like, that's like the logic that they're thinking behind it. But like, people, they're not considering the human psyche when it comes to it. I mean, look at drugs.
Okay.
Shit's illegal and people do it in droves.
Yeah.
Okay.
The thing is, though, is that like most of the people who get their guns legally don't use them on other people. It's like, and so the people who do use guns on people for violent crimes, they more than likely have the gun illegally.
Yeah.
So what's going to stop them from getting it in the first place? Banishing the people from their guns who use them responsibly? No.
Okay. Again, a pretty common rebuttal as well to that. The mathematics and statistics in this situation don't really apply. And I'm not really sure where the logic gets thrown out in the argument between the left and the right in this part of the debate. Because, like you said, it's not a simple, you know, there are 500 guns in the country. We take away all 500. Now nobody has a gun. Like, that's not how it works. Guns are, I mean, import export of firearms is always a huge deal. It's always been a big, you know, criminal business as far as that goes. And just in general, the people that are acquiring those guns aren't going through state registration
to get them. Yeah, absolutely not.
And even if you look at the shootings and the gun-related incidents that are occurring from registered law-abiding, quote-unquote, law-abiding citizens. And I say law-abiding just because that's where you have to be to, you know, pass the background check to purchase a firearm. Mm-hmm. It's a smaller percentage in general, obviously, of the overall homicides and gun-related incidents. But not only is it a smaller percentage, there's a lot more that I feel like could go into it, right? I personally think that you can make the laws stricter for even the people that are law-abiding, that if they are on the up and up and actually should be owning a firearm, they're mentally stable, etc., they would have no problem in passing extra steps, you know, personality, you know, personal references, personality checks, you know, more extensive background checks, things like that, and maybe a little bit longer of a waiting period to purchase a, you know, a larger rifle or whatever. But taking away the options completely, it's a very slippery slope, right? Because again, the whole purpose of the Second Amendment wasn't to, I mean, obviously self-defense plays a part of it, but it, the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms and everything that that entails was in order to keep us safe from not only criminals, but from the government itself. Okay. That was the whole, that was the whole point. The whole point of it was be like, look, this is what we needed whenever Britain was ruling tyrannically. We needed to form a militia and we needed to have a revolution. We never should be in this predicament again. So we need to make sure that if our government ever becomes that way, again, we have the option. And I'll tell you what, right now, the government isn't going to be rolling up on you with Winchesters because they're not allowed to purchase fully automatic weapons. Right? So at the end of the day, it's a slippery slope, because if you take away that option completely, or if you take away, if you try to take away, which is, just let me just put this out there, it will never happen. It will never happen without an all-out civil war. If the government somehow goes so far left that they pass bills where the police and law enforcement are going to come to your house and try to take your guns, it will never happen unless there is a civil war. There are way too many good old boy Southern states and Republican states that, I mean, I can think of a handful of people that I know personally that I know that would get into a firefight with law enforcement if they tried to take away their guns, right? And I'm not talking about like criminals. I'm talking about like regular people that believe so strongly that they their rights need to be protected. And I mean, I agree that they would literally fight to keep them, right? And this goes all the way, it's like a throwback all the way to the revolutionary days of, you know, riding at midnight or whatever it was, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 3 a.m. ride. I think I got that time messed up. But anyways, it's a very slippery slope to go down that path for that specific reason. Josh, you wanted to interject here.
I just had a question. Mm-hmm. So like coming from the side of the right and everything, I'm for the Second Amendment, and my question's more with the regulation of things. Because like you said, as far as if you put your normal law-abiding citizen that's going and getting their stuff anyways, you could have all kinds of different hoops for them to jump through and they'd be able to jump through it fine. It's more of the people that are doing the things illegally, getting firearms, that are the ones that are causing most of the havoc. So would you guys be in favor of keeping the laws the way they are, or the regulations the same way that they are right now, but increasing the severity of penalties on crimes of illegal drug trafficking or illegally owning a firearm, or, you know, those different things? Would you like to see harsher punishments for breaking the law with firearms to try hindering that side of things.
Sure. I mean, I don't think that would be necessarily a problem. The, again, slippery slope, though, because, you know, we still have states in the United States where it's illegal to purchase and smoke marijuana, right? So as a recreational use drug that's legal in some states, not in the others, we have people in jail for possession of marijuana where it's legal to purchase and buy in other states. Mm-hmm. So it's just very dangerous because not every law across the country in every state is the same. And when you start trying to pass laws in different states where it's okay here, you have this very wonky system of what justice actually is. And it all just depends on where you live. All right, well, it's okay to do this here, but not there. Why? It's all the United States, right? Well, yeah, but no. Mm-hmm. Because this old guy over here decided he wants to be more strict on this particular topic, but he's okay with leaving, you know, salons, quote unquote, with, you know, happy endings in the back. That's okay over in this state, but it's not in that state. Like, you know, like I was just in Las Vegas and, you know, it's in Nevada, Las Vegas. It's like, it's free for all over there. Everything goes, you know, but it's like
wild west, baby.
But at the same time, like, you know, they'll be like, but you can't kill babies or, you know, pack away them guns. Like I don't understand. Right. Like, I don't understand where you're coming from in general to, like you said, it's almost like, you know, they argue the same things, but for different points. It's like they use that same argument, but they use it for the things that they're so-called convicted about.
It's like, man, that argument was so good. We want to use it, but let's just change the name. Let's use it
on this other topic instead, because, you know, we still feel strongly about this other one.
Well, how do you guys feel about what I was saying with having to take maybe a class or a certification, like a driving test, but for guns in order to purchase them? Would you guys think it's completely unnecessary, or?
Luch, you can answer that first, because then I have something I want to chime in with there.
Let him finish the question so I get the full.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if in order to purchase guns, people had to go through the same kind of certification and testing like you have to do in order to get your driver's license, you have to do that to get your firearm license. Do you think something like that is unnecessary, or would, if something like that were to get passed, you would just be like, okay, like, that's no big.
Don't you already have to go through that though, like a basic test?
No,
you don't.
Some states, and this is what I was going to chime in. Some states you're supposed to take a hunting safety course to get your hunter's license, which also includes firearm safety training. Yeah. But I took the class, but when I got my concealed carry, all they did was say, did you take the safety class? I said, yeah. And they were like, okay.
Cool. Thanks, bro.
And then
I think a safety class would be fine. Similar to a driving test. Study up.
How many accidental deaths would happen at the safety class?
I would hope a lot less. I mean, just the same as I don't think that there's a lot of deaths at the DMV with people taking driver's tests. I mean, yes, accidents do happen, but I would hopefully think that a safety course would prevent more accidents than it would cause. If the safety course caused more accidents than it prevented, I would be the first one to say get rid of the safety course. Okay, so I'm only saying I would like to implement a safety course if it helped. If it did not help, I think it would be a waste of time and money, like, all over. Yeah.
So. I mean, the safety course doesn't have to be a practical exam either. Can be a written exam, you know, making sure you understand the laws about, safely practicing firearms.
I'd more like to see it be a practical one than just a written one. I think a written one would probably discriminate against,
the blind,
you know. Blind Italians, you know,
people who write in cursive,
because we don't want to discriminate that, right? Of course.
No, so I mean, I like I said, I would like for someone to have a gun in their hand to be able to taught, here's what it does, like, here's how you use it. I mean, but like I said, I think a lot of it has to do with what your end goal is with it. I think the main reason that gun control is a hot topic right now is because of mass shootings. I don't think people are going like, there were 10,000 accidental gun deaths last year. What can we do to stop that? That's not the conversation that we're having. They're having a conversation on mass shootings. So I think if discussing that, if we wanted to go down that road, that that is kind of a detour from what we're talking about with just gun control in general.
Yeah. And I think, grabbing onto these little bits. I can't remember if it was Dave Chappelle and his, I know that he talked about it in his, about his first time he went and bought a gun, and then the Walmart employee was like, you can kill a man with that. Like,
yeah, let's talk about the difference between birdshot and buckshot. Right.
And I think maybe it was the Bill Burr one where it was like, maybe it was. I can't remember. I think it might have been Bill Burr. It was either Bill Burr or Joe Rogan in one of his specials. I think it was the new Bill Burr one where he was like talking about the, maybe it was Dave Chappelle. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Either way, he was talking about, when you have these like safety classes and, you know, things like that, you're not just educating the upstanding citizens or the okay people either. You're like, anybody can get into them because they're, you know, that's part of the requirements for getting a gun. So you put this guy in the class and he's over there taking notes. Okay.
I understand exactly what you're saying there, because I remember that bit, but I do not think that it applies to the same way for this. I think I'm gonna go through it just to make sure everyone's on the same page here. No, it was Dave Chappelle was talking about that schools, his kids were out of school that day because they had done a what to do in case of a school shooter class thing at his school, and he was saying that the school shooter could be in the back going, all right, so where are we supposed to go in case everything happens?
Where are they gonna meet?
Where are we all gonna go hide, guys?
It is very it's a similar thought process, because you are looking at it in a way of like you're letting people go through a class, pass a test to say that they're stable and able to manage carry a firearm, but it doesn't really answer the should they carry a firearm.
And that's not what that class is supposed to do whatsoever.
So should they?
Yeah. Like I said, if we were getting on the topic of, you know, because when you spoke on the subject, you talked about overall gun deaths per year. I said that would be something I feel like would help bring that number down. But if you're talking about like the evil person who gets the gun, who does evil things, I think that that is a much deeper, wider detour that we would need to go down discussing the gun laws.
No, and I agree. My overall question of this, and I'm going to go to Luch for this answer, because again, he's, you know, kind of falls close to where I am. Every time there's a school shooting or a mass shooting or some sort of tragedy, every single time, all over social media, all you see is how many deaths is it going to take for us to realize that we have a serious gun control problem, et cetera, something along those lines. Every single time. Mm-hmm. So my first question is, why is that the go-to? Why is that the go-to answer or the go-to post every time something like this happens?
How many more losses of life will it take?
How many more times does this have to happen before we take away everybody's guns?
Are you trying to say like, why is that defense or like, why is that there?
Why is that the first thing that people think of?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I've actually never heard that.
That's literally impossible.
I really haven't, but I don't watch too much news. So, I mean,
in the past year, there was one in Texas. There was one in the Midwest. There was one way out West. And that was all in the span of like a couple weeks, it felt like.
I mean, it just sounds like a political attack ad campaign, though. It doesn't really, like, how many more deaths is it going to take? I mean,
I can't believe, first of all, that you've never heard that point of view. And it's literally every time a tragedy happens, somebody jumps on. And it's not just somebody. And I mean, it's everywhere. It's a big, long train of leftist, that's leftist belief of, let's use this as an example to crush our point home and say, this is why we should have stricter gun control laws. This is why people shouldn't be allowed to own assault rifles, et cetera, et cetera.
I mean, I guess because I feel like it's their only way to actually attack the situation. I mean, loss of life is the only thing whenever it comes to guns, you know, they're not complaining about like, oh, people are ruining their bank accounts by buying ammunition. It's an economy issue. There's, you know, other things that pointed to it. It's always dealt toward the loss of life, and that's what they have to go on. So, I mean, when it does happen, they capitalize
on it. So it's more of an emotional, it's an emotional play. To drive home. And that's, I mean, 100%, that's exactly what it is. And I agree with you. The question remains, would it be the same? Would you see the same outcry? And did you see the same outcry if the tragedy is based on any other form of violent crime?
Like, we should chop off everybody's hands because this guy beat someone
to death. Or, you know, around the same time as one of this mass shootings here in the United States, there was a mass stabbing on a train in Asia. I think 17 people were stabbed and killed, I think, something like that. I don't know the exact stab.
So we need to ban all utensils.
Some sort of knife, right? But my point is that when that happens, there isn't an emotional outcry for... How many times do people need to get stabbed before we ban large bladed serrated knives? Right? Like, that doesn't happen. People don't say that. I mean, well, now, granted, obviously the argument can be made like, well, I mean, knife related murders are down, you know, way down. The point is that murder, most of the time, homicide is either... It's either a crime of passion or it's premeditated, right? Like, that's the two categories, yeah. Mostly.
And most of the time they injure themselves in due process.
Yes, but my point is that if you wanted to murder somebody, if you wanted to kill somebody, would it matter if you had a firearm or not?
So, all right. So, like, for instance, you're asking me if I was planning to kill someone.
First of all, obviously. Just conjecture. We have the disclaimer
here. I don't plan on killing anybody. I wouldn't use a gun to kill someone. Why to be not? Honest. They can be easily tracked, especially if I have one registered. They can go through all kinds of ballistic reporting. It's really easy, pretty easy to find out actually when, you know, if you shot someone with a gun, that they could track it pretty easily. Through different kinds of forensics.
Unless the gun was purchased illegally.
Exactly. I mean, there are some cases where, like, there are, you know, where you still will be able to find it if, you know, because again, like, you can throw away the gun, someone can find it, it's got your fingerprints on it. You can hang on to the gun. I mean, but even still, I think with technology now, they're still able to find...
Dip that shit in bleach.
What's the gunshot residue?
On your hand.
The residue from
That's why you wear gloves. Then you burn the gloves.
Yeah. But I mean, like, it's like, you know, it's... I just... Because I'm not going to find someone to buy a gun from illegally. And if I did, I don't know where to start looking. I'm not going to go on Craigslist. Hey guys, looking for a Beretta.
You don't go on Craigslist. You go to criminals.org.
Yeah. And then even then, you never know what kind of contacts they have in there with the police or somebody that might be able to know what's going on. You never know. So there's just too many open ends that can happen from you using a gun on someone.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But you can, you know, I mean, take a knife, right? And a lot of the times when someone uses a knife to kill someone, they cut themselves. But I worked at the Publix deli, and I'm like, hell, man, I'll get one of those chainmail gauntlet things that they have, and I'll just put that on and go to town on my victim, and then I'll just wipe off that knife and throw it in the ocean.
Yeah. All right. So same question to you, Josh, in that same kind of field, right? So with guns and gun-related deaths, and I guess in the case of homicide, stricter laws or not stricter laws, who really ends up being the victims in the end? Like, who is the victim in the end, right? Is it is it somebody that's...
Well, and
go ahead.
I mean, a lot to say about, you know, the whole discussion that you guys were having on it. I think, and this is going back to the very beginning when you were asking why is it the first thing that a lot of people jump on when they see something like this is how many deaths is it going to take before we do something with guns? And my true and honest belief with it is that it's a lack of familiarity with firearms that brings this kind of stuff on. It's the same way that there are people, you know, people that are afraid of dogs. Like, that if they come over to your house and the dog's barking, like, they will freak out. Like, they think the dog's going to kill them or whatever, because they haven't been around them. They haven't been raised with them. Like I said, we so often take for granted the upbringing that we've had and the familiarity that we've had with firearms. I think that a lot of these people who do feel very strongly against them and feel like they are the sole problem of things do not have a very good understanding of guns, of the lifestyle of, you know, because it's generally, they don't own guns. None of their friends own guns. None of their friends' family members own guns. So it's like, you know, they have in their head that if you own a gun, you're probably, you're not in their circle. You're not one of their friends. They're not one of their family members. So there's probably something off about you. So it's, you know, they see it as kind of a bad thing. Where like with me, and one of the reasons that, you know, that never popped into my head as far as like with banning guns or anything like that was because I literally have been around them my whole life. Almost everyone I know is a responsible gun owner. Like everybody that I know, like all my friends, my family member, like pick any of my family member. I'll show you my family tree, pick one of them, and I would guarantee that they own one or more guns. Like, so for me, I see so many different examples of very good, nice people who responsibly own guns, that's why I don't see them as a problem. The same way, I mean, like I said, using dogs as an example or pit bulls. I mean, you see this kind of stuff with pit bulls all the time, that it's just like pit bulls are a violent breed, they're a scary dog. And it's like, then every pit bull owner is like, no, it's the owner. It's the person that has the, you know, because it's all about being around them, being familiar with it and stuff. And so I think that there's so many different people that just haven't experienced the other side, you know, they haven't experienced the other side of things. They haven't been around firearms enough to fully understand. I do think, though, I agree with Luch, where it is an emotional lashing out. Like, because when something like that happens, it makes you pissed off, and you want to be pissed off at something, but who? You got to.
Why not? See, that's my question. Shooter. Is like, why not the society, the surroundings, the bullying, the upbringing, the lack of role models, the lack of support for the person's mental health? Like, why not any of the other things? And not
object, I would say that it's like a pool. Like if you had a bucket and you took all the different things surrounding why that person did some shooting, that you took the family stuff, the education, the, you know, whatever it may be, you threw all that stuff in a bucket as well as guns. The thing that a lot of those people understand the least is the guns and the firearms. And that's what makes them jump on that first, because that's the one that they understand
and I think
least about. And it's just because they just haven't been around it.
A couple things that go along with that. For the first thing you said about just in general awareness, and so I'm going to throw some statistics. So 95% of all gun owners in the United States think that their children and just children in general should learn about gun safety. That should mm-hmm. learn about the culture of guns, why they are, what they're for. You know, for hunting, for protecting yourself, et cetera, all these things, and teach them from a young age about the culture of it and why it's so important. Just like you said, you have the conversation you're having mm-hmm. with your children so that they understand. Just because if there is more education and more safety control, right, there is less accidents.
Yeah.
And that actually falls on...
That's what I would
falls
hope.
Falls onto yes. the... an argument that the left makes is that, you know, more gun control laws will reduce the number of accidental gun deaths. 50% of all unintentional fatal shootings were self-inflicted, which means that there's a lot of people that don't know this, you know, or had a mental lapse of the safety features and how to handle a firearm and accidentally killed themselves. 50% of unintentional fatal shootings were yeah. self-inflicted, where the person shot and killed themselves. That's a lot, right? So
yeah,
instead of more gun control, you take that and say, okay, we don't need more gun control. We need more gun education, right? So then you take that left argument yeah. and you turn it into a more positive right argument, because nobody that is a law-abiding gun-owning citizen is going to argue for more gun education. That's what they want, right? That's what anybody that owns a gun, they want yes. more people to own guns. They want more people to jump on board and say, you know, it's our right as an American citizen to own a gun. It's, you know, we should learn about it. We should take safety classes. We should have more education, right? So I 100% agree that there definitely needs to be more, more openness about just the education and the safety of them in general. I'm going to continue with doing some more, kind of statistics to kind of chat about real quick. So we talked about suicide and suicide by firearm being kind of correlated. You know, if you didn't have access to a firearm, less people would commit suicide. That's a left point of view. If there was stricter gun control, less people would have access to firearms that could then kill themselves. I don't agree. I think that in general, if that's the kind of depressive mindset that you're in, you know, there's many ways to do that. However, the argument is kind of put down because so the fact is that gun control does not affect suicide rates. So Lithuania, the country, has one of the world's lowest gun ownership. So 0.7 guns per 100 people. Okay, so it's one of the mm-hmm. world's lowest gun ownership rates, but it has one of the highest suicide rates out of any country.
How do they do it?
By many different ways. Japan is another one, 0.6 guns per 100 people, but a very high suicide rate. South Korea, same. And the United States, in contrast, mm-hmm. has the 26th highest suicide rate. So there's 25 other countries that are ahead of us, right? It also has the highest gun yeah. ownership. So that statistic in and of itself shows that those two things don't go together, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think so much of that kind of stuff is when someone has a cold or whatever, if the only thing the doctor could do was hand you a tissue for your runny nose, it's like, no, there's like some deep, crazy bacterial shit going on inside my body. Like we need to focus on that stuff. Me just keep wiping the snot, I could do that for centuries until my nose is sore and raw and it's not helping. There are deep rooted problems that need to be looked at. Yeah, I think that, I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about the discussion that we're having here. I think so. I don't feel like I've been too far from what you guys have said with anything. I think that we're all three very much along the same lines.
In general, you're definitely lean further right on this debate. I do kind of want to bring it all the way around and kind of like, not, I guess, wrap it all together in a big bow, with a reiteration of a point that I made earlier about the whole reason why the Second Amendment was added in the first place. Is the actual right to bear arms has never just been about a hobby or hunting or self-defense or just being able as a citizen just to own a gun because, you know, you're part of the country. It was always about, at the core, being able to create a militia, right? A citizen's army to protect yourselves from the government. One of my favorite movies, V for Vendetta, one of my favorite quotes in the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
The people shouldn't be afraid of their government. The government should be afraid of their people. Because there should never, ever be a time when you feel like you're under a tyrannical rule where your daily life is being oppressed and dictated down to the very fiber of your being, right? It's just, it's not, that's not how the country was founded. Mm-hmm. That's not how the, that's just not how our country is supposed to operate. It never has. So to kind of just put that all together, if you take away the rights of the citizens to own retaliatory self-defense weapons in the form of handguns, shotguns, assault rifles, semi-automatic rifles, all of a sudden you have a culture or a government that is now overruling a defenseless populace, right? And there is nothing standing between a complete dictatorship, communist, social, whatever it might be. There's nothing standing between I guess it's communist North Korea, right? They're considered a communist country, or is that like a, I know Kim Jong's like dictator, but like it's communist, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, there's nothing that stands between the United States becoming a policed country if the person in charge so deems, right? I mean, that's ultimately the end all be all, and why the right is so hard pressed on saying, no, this is my right. This is why it's my right. And this is why I'm exercising my right. Because there never should be an instance where you should feel like, well, you know, like I said, if the army rolls up on my block and says curfew's 10 o'clock, you can't be outside, and all of them are carrying fully automatic M16s, you know, like, it is what it is, right? Like, that's, I mean, there's nothing you're going to do.
Yeah.
So the more and more that they control, the more and more power we give over to the government, right? Do you agree?
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really know. There are very solid points for more control, I guess. Not to the sense of like takeaway or you know, limitation or things like that, but more control and structure maybe on how they are acquired. I'm all for that. And I think there's many points for those things, but I think mm-hmm. that most of them can be metered with what the rights side of view is. And so in this case, like I was telling you earlier, this isn't a 50-50 compromise. This is turning the left's point of views into more of a compromise that land on the side of the right, I think.
Yeah. I agree. I think that both are so, like I said, worried about the Kleenex or the Band-Aid that both sides, you know, forget about. I mean, but even like, you know, we all said that we were on the right side of things on this matter, but yet we all know what, or believe we have ideas of the underlying issues to a lot of this stuff and things that are looked over. It's just the hot topic one that no one wants to, you know, to shut up about is the gun one. It's the one that's the hot topic that's on most people's minds and on most people's tongues that, you know, so much of the other stuff just gets overlooked and pushed away. That it's crazy, you know, because I think that at least when you look at things from like a news point of view, you have the left side seems to be freaking out about guns, wanting to take them away. And the right side is so pissed off the left side wants to take their guns away that they're like, you know, that no discussion past that ever happens.
We should take their guns away. And the right's like, I wish you would try. And then they're like, we're going to pass laws to take it away. And they're like, I wish you would try. And that's just all they, do. It's just yell back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wish you would try.
I know personally, it's ridiculous. ARs and high capacity magazines, et cetera, those are on the fringe from really like where I'm generally concerned with. Because look, at the end of the day, I stand by what I'm saying of like why the Second Amendment is there, why we should have the right. But at the end of the day, like if the military rolls up on my block, like I'm not getting an all out shootout with them to like protect my assault rifle. Like if it comes down to it, you know, I'm not one of those people that's going to, you know, get in a shootout with the military over keeping a gun. I understand that line of thinking, but like I would be more of the kind of like to join the rebellion underground in secret to try to like, you know, take back the country that like, defend my one firearm in my house, like against an army platoon. Like that just doesn't seem, I'm smarter than that. Like it doesn't seem any, you know, there's no purpose. Right. Yeah. But I will say that I feel 100% safer knowing that not only do I have a very loud dog that would bark her head off if anybody tried to come in and, you know, be very loud and mean towards them, but I have a handgun that's very close to me at all times that even if I didn't have to shoot somebody, the odds of somebody breaking into my house and then immediately going yeet and getting right back out as soon as I brandish a firearm at them is amazing. Whereas if I don't have it and somebody comes in, you know, now I have to like, okay, what do I need a baseball bat? Do I have to fight them in hand-to-hand combat? Are we about to like samurai fight with swords? Like what's going to happen here? You know, just in general, the peace of mind knowing that if I grab it and point it at something coming in my house in general, unless they're like on meth or like, you know, some crazy drug, they're going to go the other direction.
Yeah.
You know, worst case scenario, they have a firearm themselves and I surprise them and, you know, then it becomes, you know, John Wick inside my
four.
It becomes Jack Wick. Anyways, so that's going to come all the way full circle. Do you have any closing thoughts there, Luciano?
No, I mean, I pretty much think that we spelled out our initial thoughts on it. I mean, I've always been pretty, you know, open shut case about it. I just like tell it how it is. People deserve their rights. And, you know, it's a right that's pretty much existed from the very beginning. And I think
speaking of rights, next week on Right, Left, Center, we're going to talk about women's rights and men's rights. Oh, no. And just to see what Luch has to say, he can't wait. He's been telling me all day how he just can't. He just can't wait to tackle the topic of feminism or the lack of topic that it is.
but get ready to lose.
No, it's fine. We can always discuss these things very maturely and professionally. And even if he's wrong, we're still going to be friends afterwards. It's fine. It's no big deal.
It's just a good thing I'm never wrong. I don't want to test out that theory.
That's something. That's going to wrap it up. If you have anything else to add, viewers, please feel free to leave us a comment, send us an email. You can find us on any social media platform. We're streaming on Google Play, iTunes, CastBox, and YouTube. So wherever you're listening, I hope you had a great time discussing the intricacies of gun control, and long live America. That's all I got to say about that. From all of us here at the Bonus Level Podcast, we will see you next time.
Long live America.
Later, taters.